Good morning. Didn't you need a pep talk? Yeah, you know what? Here's some of the lines he said. The world needs you to stop being boring, because boring is easy. I like that. I think that's a good advice, all of us. We're all on the same team. We all have air coming through our nose. We have a heartbeat, so do something. I love the two roads diverge. The one hurt. It hurt, man, you know. I thought that's good, though. You know, rocks, there's thorns, there's glass. And then that guy journey, I thought that was good. Don't stop believing. Unless your dream is stupid, then get a better dream and keep going. Don't quit. This is your time, my time, our time. We are made to be awesome. You know, I just want a quick reminder that we are God's plan. Do you realize that? God's plan to save the world is us. So this is a good pep talk if you'll just take those and apply it to you as it applies to God and His desire for you to not be boring. To know that there are two paths and there are difficulties and life is hard. And that even though there's rocks and thorns and glass, as he said, that we need to don't stop. We need to keep on. And sometimes we lose sight of that, don't we? And Thanksgiving is a great time for us to be reminded of the whole belief system as Christians, that we need to live our lives with gratitude and thankfulness as a foundation. I put in the bulletin, mainly because they always ask me, so what do you want to put down as notes? Well, I don't know what I want them to put down as notes, so I looked up this little survey, and you can do this on your own, but it's gratitude and thankfulness are biblical principles that we can grow and develop. That's on the back of your notes, and it says, just answer them, and it gives you a little key, and it asks, I think it's 6 questions about thankfulness for you to rate yourself, to find out if you're a thankful person or not. It's very interesting. I'm going to speak, well, if I have time, I have a couple people going to come share, but I'm going to speak about the 10 lepers and the only one of them coming back being grateful. But before that, if you read in Luke 17, it talks, sometimes I'm amazed by the wording of the Bible and the storyline of the Bible. And in Luke 17, if you read how it intertwines faith and thankfulness. I can't stand up here and say, oh, God's plan was that we would under. No, I'm just saying, read the whole chapter and where it goes in faith, thankfulness, faith, thank. And you start to wonder if the two are not synonymous, that faith and thankfulness are foundational things as believers that we have got to learn to stand on. This morning, I do, like I said, I have a couple people that I've asked to come share, and so I'm going to have them do that so I don't use up all their time. This is Nigel Crosby. Now, Nigel's the guy I gave grief on Halloween, so I thought the first person that I probably should ask is Nigel, but he's also a good brother. He works with me with the youth. Obviously, you see him every week up here serving, playing the piano, and, you know, the main reason I've asked Nigel, he has the right heart. He is thankful. He is very grateful, and he gives and gives and gives out of his time and energy. And I just want you to know that I appreciate all that you do, brother.
Good morning, everyone. Is it on? Yes. Yeah, you can hear me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm actually from Ireland. Those of you that don't know me, I'm originally from Ireland. So if you don't understand, sorry. I have a couple of verses that I just want. If you go ahead, Robbie, and put those up. The first one is from Ephesians 5:19-20. So you want to put that up. And it says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God, the Father of everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the second one is from 1 Thessalonians, again, chapter 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, notice that through that, and I don't mean to give a mini sermon here, but praise and thanksgiving sort of run the whole way through that. And it says always and continually. Okay, so that doesn't mean when Nigel feels like it, when Nigel hasn't had a bad day, to give thanks. We have to give thanks all the time. And, you know, we went through probably one of the most traumatic things in our life, probably about beginning of September. Like I said, we're originally from Ireland, and we're here through the grace of the State Department of the U.S. Okay, we're one of those legal aliens. Okay, so we went through the process, and we're here. We have to renew our visa every 5 years. This, we've done it before. We did it in Mexico. We have to leave the country, so if they don't grant you it, they won't let you back in. So basically, that's it. So we have to leave our home. We have a business about two doors down from here. Our business, our pets, our life behind. This year, we flew to the Dominican Republic to do it. And the economy hasn't been great, and our business is based on our figure. Our visa is based on the figures that we do. And the economy's been tough, and they didn't add up to where they should have been. But, you know, we have to do it. Otherwise, we'd be illegal. And so we went, and it got to the stage where I had worried and worried and worried and worried about it. But it just got to the stage where I had to say, God, you've got this. And I had to hand it over to him. But human nature, what is our human nature? Let me take it back and let me worry about it a little bit more, God. No, I've got this. And you gave it back to him. So I got to the stage. Allison, who isn't here this morning, she's sick. She couldn't get over the fact that I just said, whatever will be, God's got it in control. We went, and no joking, it was the easiest renewal we have ever done. We went in. We had a D-ring binder. It was 3 inches thick of all the paperwork they required. We got up to the counter, and the guy said, okay, you're here to renew your E2 visa? And we went, yeah. Tapped on the computer, and he said, okay, you're good. And we had this 3-inch binder, and we were pretty annoyed that he didn't look at it because we had spent months preparing this. So, but, you know, we were very thankful. He said, that's great. You've been granted another 5 years. And we were so thankful. You know, we ran out of that place, hopping, skipping, jumping for joy. Once we got past the security, because we didn't want them to, you know, keep us there in case we were maniacs or something. So we got back in. So we're very thankful that we have another 5 years on our visa, and hopefully that they will do something with immigration for us legal people in the near future. So, you know, like it says in that verse, always and continually just be thankful to God, even in the small things. And just remember, Leonard spoke on it, and he's probably watching, about a year and a half ago. You know, we're always either, what was it, going into a storm, in a storm, or coming out of a storm, but in all things, just be thankful to God. Amen. Okay, thank you.
Amen. Thank you. The next person I want to come share is my wife. And, you know, if it was my turn to share about thankfulness, I would be first and foremost, outside of God, is my family and my wife. You know, us husbands, we know what we put our wives through, don't we? So we understand the amazingness that they are. And she is truly a blessing to me. And here you go. And she's going to share.
Okay, well, I've been thinking about thankfulness quite a bit because Bill did a kind of a little series on it in youth group. In one verse, this has always meant a lot to me. And if you know me, you know I love reading. I have a degree in it. And I love words. And these words have always just struck my heart. So, Robbie, you can put up this verse. It's actually a Christmas verse, kind of. Didn't plan it that way. But Luke 2:19 says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And another version says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I'm sorry, the other one said Mary treasured all these things in her heart, and she always thought about them. I just love that verse, and it's always struck me. And kind of, you know the story, but what happened right before this verse is the shepherds were in the field. They were just doing their job, and God's glory was so great. Came down. Here was an angel, and it was lit up. And they were scared to death. They were terrified. And then the angel said, "No, I have a great message for you. You're going to be filled with joy." And so they told them, "Here's the sign. Go find the baby. You're going to know because it's in a manger, and it's going to have these strips of cloth." And so somehow they knew how to get there, and they found Mary and Joseph. And when they told their story, people were amazed. And this is when Mary said she treasured these things in her heart. So that's kind of the background from it. And, you know, I get to thinking about this. You know, when God told Mary she was going to have this baby, I've looked it up and I can't find it in Scripture. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where he told her she was going to have this baby in a barn and that she'd have a cow breathing down her neck while she was giving birth and probably didn't smell very good in there. And about that time, I'm thinking, she's probably thinking, "I think I totally hallucinated that thing with the angel," you know. And don't we do that? I mean, sometimes God does something in our voice and he clearly tells us something. And yet when life kind of kicks in and it doesn't happen exactly the way we think it's going to, we kind of think, "Oh, maybe he didn't really say that to me." So here she is and she's had this baby. And the shepherds come and they say this story and she treasured it in her heart. And the thing I like about her is the shepherds told what they saw, and the people wondered and were amazed, but Mary pondered. And to me, that's beyond thankfulness. It's a little different. I think at this point in her life, she thought back to what Elizabeth had said to her. She remembered the angel coming, and it filled her with faith, gave her hope, and she began to see the hand of God, and she started connecting all the dots in her life. And it says, many scholars feel like this verse was really Mary's words. This is what she actually said, and that somehow she recorded all this, and she gave it to Luke or Paul later down so that we would know the story of Christ in the early years. So, you know, if she hadn't pondered, would we know much about Jesus early on in life? Kind of have to wonder. So anyway, the reason I bring this up, because I think there's a lot of things we miss or dismiss in our life that we should be thankful for. The quiet moments, the special times, and then things in our life that we've just grown accustomed to and we don't even realize we should be thankful anymore. Because, you know, at that point in Mary's life, she didn't really grasp everything that was going to happen. She couldn't completely understand what God was going to do. But for her, it was enough. And she knew she was in a special moment. So she treasured it. Now, men, I'm just going to talk to the mamas for a minute. If you're a mama, you know what it means to ponder. Because we do that for our kids, don't we? Like, we notice everything they do. And we notice special events in their life, and we wonder how it's going to affect their future. I mean, moms, we just kind of normally do that. And so you can understand what she was feeling like at this time. Kind of feel like if we did more pondering, we'd probably have less errors in judgment and maybe live a little bit better life. Bill Hybels, who's a famous pastor, said he actually reflects at the end of every day. He asks himself two questions. When was I closest to God, and when was I farthest from him today? And he thinks about that every day. He's pondering. And so to kind of close up, I'm going to share. Oh, sorry, let me say this. Sometimes we know, we just kind of sense that this is a special moment and God's starting to do something, but we don't always understand it. And I'm trying really hard to learn those times and not dismiss them, but be thankful for them and start to ponder them. Let me finish up with just a few of my own ponderings. And these are a couple of things that I've held close to my heart. There have been some special moments in my life when I sensed that God was doing something. When I was my first year in college, I'd been there about 2 weeks, and I went to the Baptist Student Union meeting. And there was this guy there that sang a song. And I don't know why, but it just overcame me and made me cry. It was beautiful. And nobody else around me was crying, and I didn't know him. And that was Bill. Didn't see him again for 6 weeks. But I somehow, my heart knew God was doing something here. Another time, my family and I have volunteered at Camp Barnabas, which is a special needs camp. We've done it several years. It's a camp for kids that have all different kinds of handicaps. I could not begin. The first time I stepped on their property, I just cried. And I would never guess the impact that that place would have on my family. Today, Jordan works with kids with special needs. And, you know, I just knew in my heart. There have been some recent times. One of them was, and I'll give you more details later if you want to know, when we came down and interviewed here, there was kind of a moment when we had a meeting with all the youth workers that I just sensed God's doing something here. And I don't have to understand it all. I could just know he is. And because I agree with Bill, I think faith and thankfulness and joy, they're just all kind of mixed up together. They really are. So those are kind of some special moments. Oh, one of them we just had. And Twitchy, do you have that picture? And you can't see this very well, but we just got back from Branson. It's been a week with our son. And we just had the best time together. And I sense in my heart there's just something I should be thankful for in this. We just enjoyed being together. So remember those special moments? And then there's the things in life that I take for granted that are common in my family, but not for everybody else. For example, I love that my kids love each other, and my kids are far from perfect, and we are a flawed family. But my kids love each other, and they're proud of each other. And I know that that sounds like something kind of mundane, but there's a lot of families that don't love each other, and I should be thankful for that. When one old boy does something, we all jump in. When Bill came down here, we'd been here a week, and we all were at kids' camp. We've all helped in kids' church. When Jalen has volleyball games, her brother would not think of missing that game. And wherever Tiffany is, when my son James became a Gator fan, we all became Gator fans. And we cheered him on for him last night. And the thing that I love is that we truly, really liked being together. Bill and I were talking about this. Jalen just kind of lights up when she's around her brothers. We hadn't all five got to be together for a while. And, you know, I'm trying to be thankful for all of these things, the quiet moments, the special moments, the things that we've grown accustomed to in our life that truly are things we ought to just be thankful for. So I guess I just want to finish by saying I want to be like Mary. I want to treasure the special moments and notice things that are gifts. I want to go beyond being thankful, and I want to ponder, and then my heart will truly be thankful.
Thankfulness and our faith, I believe, are very intertwined. And even as I listened to Nigel talk about his heart of thankfulness and gratitude, and sometimes life gets thrown some really difficult things in. And I remember it was incredibly stressful because there was a real possibility that once they went over to the Dominican Republic, they were not going to be able to come back other than to pack up to leave, to be gone. Is that right? And it was, they would not know what would happen till they go. And being thankful and trusting God have to go hand in hand, don't they? We have to have a real faith and trust that God is on our side. If not, why would we be thankful? I mean, if I know I can handle it and do it, and I don't need God, I have no reason to be thankful. For our family, I am incredibly grateful for my family. I grew up as a foster kid. I grew up in a home where, even though I had a house full of siblings, even though they weren't all my blood siblings, I didn't have an understanding of that connection between mom, dad, brother, sister. We were safe. We had a roof, we had food, and we were tickled to death about it. And that we thought that was life. Now being a parent and having children and connecting and bonding and being one as a family, My understanding of that and my gratitude and thankfulness has increased tremendously. But even in that, if it wasn't for my understanding of who God is and what God has done in my life and my understanding of how God works, I don't think I would be thankful. And the story I wanted to share with you in Luke 17, and you can read this later, because I do want you to read the whole chapter, and maybe you'll do what I did. Because I told you last time I spoke that I love to read a story in the Bible, and then I like to go back and see what all happened before this even came up. Right? I love that. So I read the story and I get it and I draw some conclusion, and then I go back and I go, whoa, wait a minute. You know, remember with Peter walking on water, all that happened before that even happened, that incident. Well, with this, there's really interesting things in chapter 17. So look that up and maybe you'll go, huh, this is odd that all this is together, but maybe it's not. But let me just read portions of it, starting at verse 11. It happened that as he made his way towards Jerusalem, this is Jesus, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance, but raised their voices, calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Taking a good look at them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." They went, and while still on the way, they became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" Then he said to him, "Get up on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you." Isn't it funny how gratitude and faith are intertwined in this? That, first of all, what does it tell you about the other 9? I'm blown away when I read this story that 9 people had a miraculous thing happen to them and they did nothing to go back and thank the person that gave them this gift of healing. I mean, in that day, a leper had to be completely separate from everybody. They had their own colonies. And it's interesting that he walked between Samaria and Galilee, because the truth is they were probably mixed, Samaritans and Galileans. They were probably mixed because all the lepers, regardless of what nationality you are, you're a leper. And you are isolated and away from everybody else. But this Samaritan was a Samaritan. So Jesus walks and he sees these people. There's 10 of them who have leprosy, and he heals them. But only one has a grateful heart. You know, that's why the little note thing. I wonder sometimes how our hearts are when it comes to gratitude. Because for me, when I look at what Jesus has done for us and what his word says, I see selfishness way over here and gratitude way over here. Pride, arrogance, selfishness is about as opposite of who God is that I could point out. As I look at who God is and I need to separate, you know what? Even sin, God has nothing to do with sin. The core of sin, I think most time, is that selfishness, that arrogance, that pride in me. See, God tells us that the me that we're so proud of is nothing without him, is it? Without his saving grace and mercy on our lives, we are nothing. So when we receive this gift of salvation, once we ask God to forgive us, that needs to be out of humility and brokenness and thankfulness. It isn't a woohoo, thank you, you gave me this wonderful gift, I'm so awesome now. Man, we ought to be falling on our face daily and recognizing and understanding who God is and what he really has done for us. Because the truth is, I would rather have leprosy than go to hell for eternity and miss who God is. Right? Right? But yet, are we thankful for this gift of salvation? You know how you can tell people are grateful? It just pours out of them. It isn't something that is based on each moment. It isn't. I talk about circumstantial faith, I think, every time I get up here. Circumstantial faith is a trap that I'm going to trust God as long as, or in this hard situation, I'm going to trust God. And then we go about our lives and just ignore God. That's circumstantial faith. I don't believe that as Christians, God saved us, healed us, so that we could pick and choose the moments we're going to follow him. You know how cool it would be if Christians, that's why I showed this video, we need a little pep talk. You know, we do. We need to stop being boring, as he said. Because the truth is, we should have joy that just overflows in every bit of our being of who we are. What God did for us, for all of us, even if you're in here and you have not received that gift, he still did it for you. We've got to begin to understand that what we have, those of us who've received, isn't something that we flaunt and be arrogant and pride. Hey, look what I got. God was so merciful on me. No, we should be flat on our face and say, God, I can't believe you'd do this for me. I can't believe you would love me this much to die for me, to lay down your son's life, to die, that I could not get anything special other than the gift of I love you and I want to walk with you and I want to be a part of your life. That is enough. See, a lot of us have it in our mind that the gift was eternity in heaven and not hell. The gift is connection with God. The gift is we have him with us at all times. We got to live lives that are grateful. I'll be honest, I'm not always grateful. I'm selfish. There are times that I have to fight. The old man in me is still there at war with the new man. And it's a bummer fight sometimes. And I lose sometimes. And I hate that. But it doesn't take much to realize what God has done for me. When I look back at my life, I still can say, when Trish showed the picture of the Christmas tree and the five of us standing there, it's like, how in the world did I get here? Only by God's grace and his mercy. So this week is just really a reminder of our hearts. It's not just about thankfulness. It's not just Thanksgiving, but it's our heart. It's our attitude and the correlation of our faith. If you're struggling with your gratitude, even as Mr. Frost said in his, even when the road that we go down is difficult, where's your heart? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for all your blessings in our lives. God, I come before you and I'm just amazed that you would care for me. God, that you would save a sinner like me. So Lord, I thank you for what you did at the cross for me. But God, I also thank you that you did at the cross what you did at the cross was for all of us. And God, we have a choice, all of us. Not just to accept this gift, but to live in this gift, to understand it, to understand who we are now. So Lord, I just pray for each one here. God, and first of all, I pray that if there's anybody in here who has never fully accepted it and embraced and understood everything you did at the cross for them, Lord, that today would be the day they do that. That today would be the day that they say, I get it. God, everything I am is because of you. And you want to walk with me through life, Lord. So I just pray that on everybody here, Lord, that you would just open their hearts and minds, that we would get it. And then we'd take that step to receive that gift. But thank God for those of us who are in this room and we receive that gift. Lord, I just pray that we wouldn't grow weary of life circumstances. That the things, the good things, the bad things, just life busyness, God, would not distract us from the calling that you give us all. God, we're here to love each other. We're here to worship you, to acknowledge you, and to know you in our daily lives. So Lord, I just pray that we would continually be grateful. Continually we'd be thankful. God, we would understand who you are in our lives. And Lord, as we just have a moment of silence, well, I just pray that you would touch hearts. You know, we open up the altar every Sunday, and there's lots of reasons to come to the altar. If you've never understood or received what God is offering to you, and I'm not saying just heaven. That is an amazing gift that he offers to all of us. That we can have salvation from hell. Yes, that's part of what God is offering for us. But it's bigger than that. He's offering to be a part of you and to come inside, and his spirit will reign in your life, and you no longer have to wonder and think, what direction, who am I, what am I supposed to do? His word will lay out a plan directly for your life. And it won't be about your job. It won't be about your career. It's about who you're to be. How your heart should be filled with wonder and love for people around you. How you will have a message to share to the world. If you've never received Jesus, I want to invite you. It is a humbling thing to come before God, because we have to acknowledge who we really are. Most of us are afraid of that. Most of us don't like looking at who we really are, because nobody knows the bad as much as each one of us know the bad about ourselves. And we all, and I believe it's, we all believe we're not worthy, because we're not. But the truth is here, guys. Please don't miss this. There is nothing you've done. There is nothing you could do that would be worse or bigger than God's love for you. Man, he loves you. He laid down his life for you. I agree with Paul when he says, I am the worst of sinners. When I look at my life, I can't even imagine there being a worse sinner in the entire world, because you guys don't know what I've gone through, and in my heart and my mind. And I know what I've done. And I've had to trust and give faith to God that he really does love even me, and he would die for me. And no matter what it was, I could lay it at his feet. And you know what I found, guys? I need you to hear this. I found forgiveness. I found mercy for my life. Because I needed mercy. I needed God to have mercy on me. He loves me, and he loves you. So just as Nigel plays for a minute, we're just going to open up. Maybe you need to come here and you just need to have a heart check. You're not living a life of gratitude. Maybe the little things, maybe your family, your wife, your spouse, your husband, maybe just the people you work with, you just have not been grateful. You have not had a grateful heart. And God is trying to say to you, it's time to remove the circumstances and trust me that I love you. So we're just going to have just a couple minutes of just altar time. And if you need to talk to me about salvation, please come talk to me. There's many people in here that love to talk to you about who God is and how much he loves you. So we're just going to take a couple minutes before we move forward in the service. And if you're just content where you're at and what God has for your life, right where you're at, then be praying for people that God's spirit would move enough, and that we would become awesome, as Kid President said. That we would quit being boring, and that a life that people see would be overflowing with joy and thankfulness, and we would have an impact around people that we live with and we work with. Let's just take a couple minutes.